The reading is Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 9, which can be found on page 742 in the Church Bibles. Invitation to the thirsty. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the evil man his thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is Luke 13, 1 to 9, and that can be found on page 1046 in the Church Bible. Repent or perish. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with the sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. All those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I have been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, readers. Before I speak, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Amen. Most of you here were here last week, not all of you, and John Chandler was talking. And he was talking about us being on a series of journeys. And also that the message in Paul's letter to the Philippians was that they had to be more like him because he was like Christ. At the moment, we're on a journey through Lent, and we'll shortly be halfway through. It's a period of the year when we're encouraged to take steps to have a deeper relationship and dependency on God. Traditionally, that has been from prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Talking and listening to God in prayer is always valuable. So is reflecting on our faults and shortcomings, followed by repentance. Making time to read the Bible more. These are good habits that will spiritually benefit us throughout the year. Many now associate fasting with perhaps giving up chocolates, or maybe that glass of wine, or whatever it happens to be. Quite modest things. But unless it's, it may be good for your waistline, may be good for your, I don't know. Anyway, but unless it's linked into a greater dependency on God, it just not getting its full benefit. A number of years ago, I don't know when it was, Julia might remember, I remember we were encouraged to not eat anything for about 12 hours, one day a week. And about 4 in the afternoon, a little rumble was going on. And it was an opportunity to think and reflect as to why I was doing it and to then pray about it. Giving to charity or to the work of the church is good. It keeps our treasurers happy for a start, But unless that giving is more than just a loose change in one's pocket, you don't have the facility to learn to have a greater dependency and trust on God. When I saw the lectionary readings, I was initially intrigued as to why Isaiah was in there. But not so many, when Paul Greenland was here a few weeks ago, he made an interesting comment, and he said that actually the lectionary, he likes to use the lectionary, it's very good, and there's a reason why the readings are there. And that's why he uses it. It also means that we have to think about a whole range of passages throughout the year. Our first reading, which Judy read, was from the second part of the book of Isaiah. And the first part deals with the Israelites being warned that they're going to go into captivity and off they go to Babylon. The second part, which starts from about chapter 40, starts giving some comfort to them. And when we get to this section here, but if you go into a couple of chapters earlier, chapter 53 in particular, what we have is the best Old Testament prophecy of Jesus suffering on the cross. He was despised and rejected by men. He took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgression. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He has done no violence, nor has any deceit in his mouth, for he bore the sins of many. Chapter 55, which we heard, is known as the Great Invitation, with a series of commands for us to take positive steps, but also is quite a revelation of the depth of God's grace. In the first verse, we have the word come 4 times. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. If you go into the New Testament, several times Jesus used that same word of come. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Matthew 11, come to me who are weary and burdened. In the parable of the wedding banquet, the invitation is to come. Whilst to the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus tells her anyone who drinks the living water that he gives will never be thirsty. Now you have come this morning, but are we thirsty to know more of God? Do we want to be refreshed? Do you want to be changed, transformed? Do we want the living waters of the Holy Spirit flowing within us? It is something we can't physically buy. Will we respond to the invitational command to eat? Not normal food, but the Word of God. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. It is not something we can buy, but we have to respond to. I don't know if any of you like seeing the All Creatures Great and Small programs, with James Herriot. One or two have probably even been to Thirst to see his things. There's his partner, Siegfried on stage kept pestering James that he really ought to take his wife Helen to this new, rather fancy and expensive restaurant. James, who was just an assistant, was not that well filled in the pockets and was rather reluctant. But Siegfried kept pestering him. You really ought to take Helen for that wedding anniversary. It's special to you. Take it. Go on. So reluctantly, James gave in. But on the way to this nearby town for this meal, he had to go and pop and see a horse on a farm somewhere. But when he got back into the car, what he hadn't realised was that his checkbook had fallen out of his pocket. And they had a lovely meal. Trouble came. He went to get it to pay, and he hadn't got any money. And the waiter said, "No problem. It's all been paid for you. It's no charge." His boss, Siegfried, had paid it. But it's the same for us with Jesus. He has paid it in the past for us now. We haven't got to do anything. It's been a free gift. We just have to accept the invitation to come, to take that steps. We just have to do that. Another active command is seek. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call in him when he is near. It comes with an invitation and a promise. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. We are not on the earth forever. We have to get close to God when we are able. You know, I don't know. I had a mother who had senile dementia. Who knows? I might get that. I might not have the facility to take that step. We just don't know. And we're also reminded that God's thoughts and ideas are different and better than our own natural instincts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways. The heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The message to the Israelites in exile was one of hope. There's something they can and we can do. Come. Come on. Come on in. You belong. The reading in Mark from Luke, which Ian read, is very clear. We all need to repent or we're in risk of perishing. Whether we've done something really bad, evil, or whatever. Because we might be like those people who were in that tower that collapsed, ancient building collapse. We might have been, if we were young enough, in that nightclub in North Macedonia. We might have been in Grenfell Tower or a train crash. Things happen which we have no control over. We need to repent and be ready. Then Jesus continues with a parable about a fig tree that fails to produce fruit. Now, for Christmas, my aunt gave me a Christmas present. It was a camellia bush. And it didn't do anything. I planted it in the garden. Did absolutely nothing for about 3 or 4 years. And I had to dig it up and move it. And I moved it from the bottom of the garden to just beside the house. It was a very narrow bit between the side wall of the house and my drive. And it now produces wonderful flowers. This is the first bloom I found yesterday. It will be blooming for right into mid-May. There are hundreds of buds on it. But we are like, we have to be produce fruit and flowers and be a blessing to others. You know, if not, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. It might be just nice, kind words. It might be, but just carrying the presence of Jesus, how we go around our lives. It may not be something special we're aware of, but we're carrying it. And we are meant to be that. Otherwise, we are no use. My hope and prayer during this vacancy interregnum has been that we will be in a better place spiritually at the end of the vacancy period than at the beginning. We've had a few challenges. Quite a few of them have been impact of health related, unfortunately. And it's been hard work. But we've seen God's hand in things. And we've been incredibly blessed, quite honestly, by some of the priests and the speakers we've had come. We really have. And, you know, we need to be better because we want to really be a great help and support to the new person who's coming here. And we want our church to flourish, don't we? But we have to be right spiritually and help us on that. All successful journeys, whether it's being whatever it happens to be, they all start with taking the first step. And then the next step. But you don't succeed at all unless you take a step. And the same is with spiritual journeys. So just keep on the right track and be a blessing to others. Amen.